Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry.
Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit.
If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me.
My mouth does not transgress. I have avoided the ways of the violent.
I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God.
Incline your ear to me. Hear my words.
Wondrously show your steadfast love.
I shall behold your face in righteousness.
Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you, but where you lead often seems too risky to us. Hear us now as we confess who we are. Father God, you call us to do your will, but we often doubt that your plan is what is best for us. Holy Spirit, you promise to guide us into all truth, but we don't like to question our assumptions or change our minds. Loving God, forgive us for fearing your ways, fighting your will, and doubting your work in our lives. Create in us a pure heart, O God, and renew your steadfast spirit within us. Do not cast us from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us grant us your willing spirit. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And it is through him that we are restored into right relationship with God. This is the good news. In Christ we are forgiven. Amen.
After living with Paul these last several weeks in his letter to the Romans, it is time now to move to listen to stories of Jesus' ministry. And while the passages marked in the bulletin say one thing, I'm going to begin in chapter 14 at verse 13 instead. Listen now to, for me, one of my favorite stories, one of the best in the entire body of Scripture. Listen for God's word. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus arrived and saw the large crowd, he had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There's no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them, and broke the loaves apart and gave them to the disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. About 5,000 men, plus women and children, had eaten. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, his cousin John was dead, beheaded, to reward a young woman who'd danced for Herod's birthday party. She only asked because her mother, Herod's wife, told her to do so. Such gruesome, immoral behavior was Herod's hallmark. His debauchery makes our stomachs turn. No wonder Jesus wanted to disappear from view for a while. He needed to grieve the loss of family and the ethical state of the Jewish leadership. Perhaps, too, he was beginning to realize that because of his relationship to John, he had now become a marked man. So he went off on his own to pray. Now, it's easy to assume that the people followed Jesus out of the cities because they wanted to see what he'd do next. But then again, maybe they wandered into the wilderness because they were also shocked by the news. Perhaps they were bewildered and could not fathom what they'd do without God's prophet who'd washed their sins away in river water. They grieved the loss of this strange man. And rather than be alone with that grief, they simply wanted to be with others whose lives he had touched. Maybe they were so desperate for the solace of simpatico company, they were willing to wander out into the wilderness without food. Grief can do that to you. When gripped by aching, total loss, we search for guidance, for community, hopefully for God. Now, old tradition taught the Hebrew people that the Messiah was to be a very powerful warrior, a zealot of the faith, who would use his moment to rally the people into a fighting frenzy so they could overpower the puppet kings and Roman guards. 5,000 men, plus women and children, would make a great start to such an army. They could really storm Herod's palace. But such was not the case. When Jesus got to where he intended to grieve, he found all these people, and they weren't in any shape to fight. They were tired, hungry, sick, wounded. So in compassion, he set aside his personal grief and followed the call Jesus had placed on his life. He began to heal their bodies. And then, when the disciples encouraged him to send the crowds home or away so they could find supper, he responded by saying, "You give them something to eat." All they had were 5 loaves and 2 fishes for 5,000 plus people. But Jesus blessed and broke the food and gave it to the disciples for distribution to everyone. The whole thing sounds miraculous, doesn't it? I mean, whether you agree that Jesus almost magically multiplied the loaves and fishes, or if you prefer to think that his words merely encouraged the crowds to share whatever they had secreted in their cloaks with the others, this thing of feeding 5,000 men plus women and children is eye-popping. But feeding the 5,000 is much more than a miracle. In caring for the needs of the many, Jesus is revealing God in a new way. You see, back in the day, everyone believed that the gods used average human beings as playthings that could be discarded when they became bored. They acted like Herod, whose glittery, slimy lifestyle demeaned both his wife and, yes, his daughter. Especially when he executed John out of lust for that manipulative woman through her daughter. Moral decay and cruel demands were the rule of the day. Understanding that fact must have taken a toll on Jesus' spirit. Yet when Jesus, the Son of God, saw the great crowd out there in the wilderness, instead of righteous anger or sulking, his heart turned to compassionate action. These people were in deep, deep need of support, and in response, he suffered their pain, their thirst, their hunger. He stood with them, healed their sick, tended their needs, and shared himself with them. His heart was broken over John's death. But unlike Roman gods, this God chose to be present with them. He chose to love them. Somehow I suspect he was a bit annoyed with the disciples when they suggested that he send everybody to the villages to find dinner. First of all, remember, this is the wilderness. They were beyond the reach of villages. And even if a village had been close by, there would have been how many thousands of them to be watered and fed? Far more than a small hamlet could handle. And then there was the problem of money. Most didn't have any. So who would be able to buy the food? For Jesus, not only was the disciples' idea ridiculous, it was just plain wrong. He had been sent to feed their hearts, their minds, their souls, and now their bodies, and to teach his followers to do likewise. He wasn't about to turn his back on his flock. So he tells the 12 to get over themselves and figure out how to feed the masses. You give them something to eat. I wonder if his order was made with a stern voice or one that was more gentle, calming, knowing, even hopeful. I suspect the disciples were skeptical of his decision. 5 loaves and 2 fishes? How would that be enough to feed 5,000 people? Yet after giving thanks to God for these gifts, Jesus broke the bread and gave it to the disciples to pass out to all who sat around waiting for the meal that would nourish the body and the soul. Where things could have gone sour, through God's gracious presence, abiding compassion and everlasting love existed. All ate and were filled. And then there were leftovers too. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Yet from so little, God showered abundance down on the makeshift community that had been burdened by scarcity. God's gift of abundant love is indeed the real miracle here. But what does that story have to do with those of us living in a time when large-scale miracles don't seem to exist? Well, it reminds us that in a world just as broken as the one inhabited by Herod and his wife, we are fed bread and wine at the Lord's table, so that as Jesus' body on earth, we too can go out to share God's presence, God's compassion, God's love with all we meet. But who should we share it with? Where should we share it? Especially now. It's really hard to think about mission work in COVID times. I don't believe our compassion and love are just for those of us gathered here in this room. And lately I've been listening a lot to singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer. Have any of you ever heard of her? No? Oh. She's kind of folksy. Very straightforward, very poetic. She works a lot with Parker Palmerton on spirituality discussions and presentations for people, along with her music. Really quite a cool lady. Anyway, in one of her texts, one of her sets of lyrics, she reminds us that while gripped by an aching loss, the 5,000 sought comfort, community, and a God who would love them. So Jesus met those folks where their hearts were. Now, the wilderness we tend to find ourselves in are more inside our hearts than out there in a desert, especially as we weather the ongoing COVID storm. And when we stumble or grieve or ache over the problems of our lives, like the 5,000, we too seek comfort, community, and a God who will love us. And sometimes we find those things at places like Betty's Diner, which is one of the tunes that Carrie Newcomer has written. Miranda works the late night counter in a joint called Betty's Diner. Chrome and checkered tablecloths, one steamy window pane.
Arthur lets his Earl Grey steam. Since April, it's been hard to sleep. You know they tried almost everything, yet it took her in the end.
Beta used to drink a lot, almost lost it all before she stopped. Comes in at night with her friend Mike, who runs the crisis line.
Michael toured Saigon and back, hair the color of smoke and ash.
Their heads are bowed, their hands are clasped. One more storm has passed. Here we are, all in one place, the wants and the wounds of the human race. Despair and hope sit face to face when you come in from the cold. The entire human race is broken. Not just despotic Herod and his wicked wife. Not just Jeffrey Epstein and his associate Ghislaine Maxwell. We are all Arthurs and Vedas and Michaels. And when we ache, we all need to feel the comfort that comes from being with others. And we all need to feel God's ever-present, abundant, grace-filled love. Again, in the songwriter's words, she says, "Let her fill your cup with something kind, eggs and toast like bread and wine. She's heard it all, so she don't mind. You never know who'll be your witness. You never know how to grant who grants forgiveness. Look to heaven or sit with us. Let her fill your cup with something kind, eggs and toast, like bread and wine." Compassion and sitting with hurting people are pretty much Jesus' thing. But it's our thing too. For as disciples, we have been told to give them something to eat. But again, the question comes back, how do we do this in a time of pandemic? How can we, though, do a better job of following Jesus' commandment even now? Like Jesus, we can all be like the woman who is filling your cup with something kind. And like John the Baptist, we can all share the good news that God is with us. And that God can truly fill our cups with something kind, eggs and toast like bread and wine. Jesus is our witness. Jesus grants forgiveness. He's heard it all, and he don't mind. May we find a way to serve God. You give them something to eat.
Let us say together that which we believe. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed, and blessing the children, healing the sick, binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel, unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition. God is right. Suffering the deaths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world, God raised Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to eternal.
Brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's table. This is not a Presbyterian table. It is not our family's kitchen table. This is Christ's table, where all who believe in him may share in the feast he first prepared for his disciples and for the saints who followed. Therefore, let all of God's children come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. May the Lord be with you. Lift your hungry hearts to God. We offer them to the one who feeds us with grace. God gives us all we need in every moment. Our mouths will sing God's praise in these moments. Let us pray. O God of steadfast love, when the hour was late, you spoke, and creation sprang forth in newness, tadpoles stretching into bullfrogs, caterpillars crystallizing into butterflies, raindrops plopping on broad leaves, thunder rolling through the valleys, and you shaped us in your image. If we had listened to you, we would have feasted on Eden's delights. But we hungered for sin's moldy bread and drank death's sour wine. With great love and unceasing hope, you sent the prophets to us, but we sent them away, for the hour was too early for us to follow you. Then, in overwhelming compassion, you sent Jesus to us. Holy God, you are gracious and merciful. And Jesus Christ is your heart made flesh. He who had everything came to fill those who had nothing. He who lived in glory came to the deserted places of our hearts to love us. He who is over all came to submit to death's power, being cut off from you until you raised him to new life. We need not go away empty, but we are fed at the table where we speak the truth in Christ. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Here at this table, O God of abundance, you feed us with the grace and peace which is offered at no cost to us. The Holy Spirit blesses the bread, breaks it, and gives it to us so that we might have the strength to hold those whose knees wobble from fear and despair. And the Holy Spirit blesses the cup, pours it, and gives it to us so we can go to lift up the hopes which the world has dashed to the ground. The Holy Spirit will gather up the broken people to create a community of wholeness. And when that final hour is now, when we are gathered with our sisters and brothers of every time and every place, we will eat and be filled at the Lamb's Supper and rejoice with one voice as we praise you forever and ever, God in community, holy in one. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us now lift up the concerns, the joys, the questions of our hearts to God silently. O Lord, hear us now as we speak the prayer that your Son first taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Oh, my friends, on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after he gave thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body, which has been broken for you. Eat of it, and do so remembering me. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do so remembering me. Every time that you eat of this bread and drink of this wine, you do so saying that you honor and remember and praise the Lord Jesus, whose death has come, who has risen, and who will come again. Let us share in this feast of faith. Shall we pray? For these gifts, O God, we thank you. For your grace, O God, we praise you. For your love, O God, we adore you. Amen. We are claiming to be Christ's disciples. Christ has told us that we are to give them something to eat. He didn't say when, he didn't say yesterday, not today. He said, give them something to eat now. So I invite you, I charge you to go and consider how you and how the church might be able to do just that even in the COVID times. How might we go out as church together to praise his name, to show compassion and love in his name, and go knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit will go with you each and every day, guiding your way. Amen and amen.